come and preach. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity, the privilege. And as I said again, it's a wonderful privilege to be here. Ladies, that was wonderful music. And as far as I'm concerned, Pastor, let's just have a altar call right now and let's get out of here. No, but that was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Touched my heart. And thank you, ladies, so much. This is my first day actually with the tour group this year. Last summer was my first summer with the group. I had the privilege of bringing the guys up here to Boston. And if you know anything about traveling with guys, I'm gonna tell you something. It's worse than traveling with ladies. And well, let's not go there. But anyway, we've had a great time so far. I was at a camping trip, as Pastor said, and we're up in Stratford, New York, about a five-hour drive from Long Island, where we are there, the Bible College. And then I turned around about 3 hours after I got back. We jumped in the van and came up to Boston area and Medford, and it's a joy to be here. And I'm not even tired. I feel great. If I could go on for a while, but it's a joy to be here. Thank you, Pastor. I was reveling in the goodness of God walking in here and seeing the burden. Just talking to your pastor, I see his burden for this area. And been here a year and a half, and what a joy it is to be in this church on this great evening and in the house of God. I'll tell you one thing, it sure beats watching baseball or something like that at home, especially if the Red Sox aren't doing too good. How are they doing tonight? Anybody know? I don't know the score. But anyway, let's go on to more important things here. I'm not a Yankee fan. I'll just tell you that right off the start here. I'm not a Yankee fan. All right. So don't throw darts at me yet. All right. And I don't like the Yankees. Okay, let's move on. Again, more spiritual things. Jeremiah 24, if you would please. Jeremiah 24. We'll read verses 1 through 10. I'm going to give you just a brief overview of this passage here before we move on to the three verses that I want to really dwell on tonight. I won't be long. I want to get to the main gist of the message, and I pray tonight that I'll be a blessing to you. Jeremiah 24, I've been a youth pastor for 2.5 years, and God has put me now on the college administrative advisory staff, and it's a blessing to be helping Brother Judson Mitchell now on the college staff there. And as I said, 3 days straight, just nonstop meetings, but it's an awesome thing to see the hand of God. And I'll tell you, being here in this church, I'm sure you have seen the hand of God. I love seeing the things on the back wall there, the diagrams, and seeing that you raise money for a new bus, seeing money for a new floor coming up. That's awesome. And to improve the house of God and to see buses go out and bring people who are not as fortunate as us to get a ride to church. And our church, just like yours, believes in the bus ministry. We believe in the bus ministry. We have four bus routes right now in Stony Brook. Brooklyn has, our Brooklyn campus has nine bus routes. But listen, we have people on staff now, ladies and men on our staff who are reached through the bus ministry. We believe heavily in it. And the bus ministry is a great tool that God can use. And listen, be faithful. Plant your feet here. Be faithful. Be loyal to your pastor. He's a man of God. He loves you. I got to meet his children. I'm going to see if I can get all four names right. Here we go. I met Abby. Abby was the first one there to meet in the parking lot. I met Cody. He carried a table in for us. I met Courtney and Brittany. Did I get them all four? All right. Did all right. Did pretty good there. And praise the Lord. It's great to be in your church tonight. And would you stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 24. We're going to read 10 verses. I want to, again, like I said, dwell on those verses 5 through 7. I'm sorry, we're only going to read the first 7 verses. Let's start in verse number 1, Jeremiah chapter 24. I'm going to ask you to read responsively with me. I'll read the first, you read the second with me, and we'll go on from there. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. Now, if you read verse 2 with me, please. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that were our first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Verse 4 with me. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I love verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. Wonderful passage here, and I'll read verse 5 here. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Verse 6 with me, please. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. And God, it is vain unless the Spirit shows up. Father in heaven, please send your Holy Spirit power, Lord, upon me as I preach. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, may help me to say exactly what you want said. And Lord, if there's something you want me to leave out, Lord, show me. I'll leave it out. Thank you for this pastor, Lord, Pastor Weeks here. God, I thank you for his faithfulness this last year and a half. And God, thank you for his burden. Lord, the Northeast needs Christ. And Lord, thank you for these dear people here. God, I pray you'd help me be a blessing. Lord, the music's already been a blessing. Now, Father, we've got to hear from you. Bless the preaching of your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jeremiah chapter 23 starts off, well, closes, chapter 23 closes. We see a general prediction of the utter ruin of Jerusalem and that the land of Jerusalem should be forsaken and forgotten. And this put the prophet Jeremiah in a rather melancholy state of mind, and a state of mind that he was discouraged, he was down, he was depressed. And God now in chapter 24 is bringing upon him some, he's helping him out, and he's giving him some, he's giving a little bit of encouragement here. And God's telling Jeremiah, Jeremiah, hold on, I'm sending these people, the children of Israel, into captivity for a reason. And aren't you glad God has a reason for all that he does in our life? And God is now showing Jeremiah, Jeremiah, hold on, I've got a purpose, I've got a plan, I've got a reason for what's happening in their life. And Jeremiah, if you just trust me, I'll show you. Now, some of the people had already gone into captivity with Jeconiah. Because of this, Jeremiah lamented. I mean, these were tough, heartbreaking circumstances in the life of the prophet Jeremiah. And God is trying to encourage Jeremiah here with these words. And there's other people that remained in their sin, in which God explains that their captivity would be for their utter ruin. And listen, when God shows us things from his word, and he shows us sin that we may need to get rid of, and things that we might need to change, hey, I want to admonish you tonight, get rid of that, and take care of that problem, and take care of that sin before God has to utterly destroy us. But that's not the message tonight. I want to be a blessing. I want to talk about trials this evening. And Pastor, there's people all over. We know people in the Northeast are hurting. People are hurting. And just like the song says, people need the Lord. Every day we pass them by. We can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care headed who knows where. I'm telling you something, the Northeast and America is going downhill real fast. We know that. I'm not dwelling on that this evening. But I'm saying this, people are hurting. My wife and I had a yard sale 2 Saturdays ago in our yard there in Long Island, and we sold everything that we could think of, and we just wanted to get, you know how it is. I'm not a pack rat at all. I want to get rid of stuff. If it's sitting around more than 6 months, let's get rid of it. And if it doesn't sell, let's go in the dumpster. But we had a yard sale, and a lady came by. I was just leaving with my daughter. I was taking her on a little daddy-daughter date, and we were going to Friendly's. They had free ice cream this particular Saturday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., and I was going there, and there was... And I took her, but right as I was leaving, a lady pulled into our driveway in our yard there. She said, can I park here? I said, sure, you can park wherever you want. And she parked there. Her name was Michelle. And little did I know, I left and I went to Friendly's with my daughter. I came back and Michelle was still there. And Michelle was there and she was explaining to my wife how she was just going through a really, really hard divorce. And little did we know when we met Michelle that night that God would do something in her heart. And that was a Saturday, Pastor Weeks. The next Sunday morning, just the next day, Michelle showed up to church. And Michelle was there. But I thought, you know, people all around us are hurting. And I found out that Michelle is literally our next door neighbor. There's a ravine there, and across that ravine there is a house. And shame on me, I didn't even know who my neighbor was. But my neighbor was hurting. Michelle was hurting. A lady in her 40s, she's going through a tough divorce, and my wife and I got to know her a little bit, and we're looking forward to inviting her over for coffee and things when we get back. But people are hurting all around us. going to this camp out upstate New York, I went to Avis, and I wasn't going to be in my car, so I went and rented an SUV, did some off-roading, and going to the Avis station, I met this man, Chuck, and he looked me in the eyes as I sat there and rented the SUV from him. He said, "Pray for me, Hank." He said, my brother just died unexpectedly 2 weeks ago. A man, 54 years old, very unexpectedly, good health. He had high blood pressure, but he was on medication for that. And very unexpectedly in his home. And 3 days he had been laying in his house. Nobody knew he was dead. And this man, Chuck, rented an SUV to me, was hurting. People are hurting all around us. And I thought, God, help me to see people in their need. God, give me a burden for people. Give me a burden for people. And in this passage, we see Jeremiah is hurting. Jeremiah is hurting, and Jeremiah is going through trials in his life. And God's saying, "Jeremiah, just hang on. I'll help you." We see the vision that God gave to Jeremiah. God showed Jeremiah two baskets in these first few verses here. One basket of very ripe, good figs. The other basket of naughty figs. They could not be eaten. They were so bad, the Bible says. God then asked Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, what seest thou?" And Jeremiah says, "God, I see," he says in verse 3, "figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil." Now, just hold on for a second here. This is where the story takes off. Verses 5 through 7, I'll point your attention to in a minute. But number one, I want to give you six things about our trials tonight, and then we'll go home. But I want to be a blessing, so if you would please just lock in with me here for the next few minutes. I won't be long, but I want to be a blessing. Six things about our trials we'll see here in verses 5 through 7. Number one, God knows exactly what we're going through. And I'm going to say that again for emphasis' sake. Number one, God knows exactly what you and I are going through. You say, "People don't understand." Hey, people might not understand, but God understands. And listen, God tonight knows exactly, I'm going to say that word again, He knows exactly what you're going through tonight, church. God knows what you're going through. Look at verse 5 there, if you would please. Jeremiah 24, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs," I love this next these next few words, "so will I acknowledge them." God knows all about us tonight. This evening, as we sit in this church, God knows all about your life. God knows what you're going through. He knows what trials you face. Listen, God knows exactly what you're going through. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, "He who counts the stars and calls them by names is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as if you were the only creature he ever made or the only saint he ever loved." Church, I love to think of it this way. I love to think if Hank Kistler was the only person on this earth, God in heaven would have still sent his son Jesus to die for me. Why? Because God knows that Hank Kistler needed salvation. God knows that Hank Kistler needed a savior, that I couldn't provide my own way to heaven, and God knew that I needed something. Why? Because God knows all about me. God acknowledges me. God knows me. God knows me by name. God knows every beat of your heart tonight. I sat at that camp out one night just recently, the last couple days, and I looked up the first night we got poured on, and that was fun. But I had we have an Eagle Scout in our church, actually in our college, and he's an Eagle Scout, so he knew somebody real close, his troop master there. He got a big 10-man tent, and that thing was heavy duty to the max, and I set that baby up, and it poured, and it poured, and it poured. One guy in our camp, a different tent, he woke up with about 2 inches of standing water in his tent, but I didn't have that problem. I had the Eagle Scout tent, and we were dry all night long, and it was a beautiful tent, and we had a great time. But the next night, God just totally took away all the clouds. I looked up in that sky. It was a beautiful, beautiful, clear night. Walked out the little road that was there. I looked up, and I saw star after star after star after star, the beauty and the beauty and the beauty of God's heavens. And I looked up there, and I said, "God, you are awesome." And as I looked up in the sky, I thought, this is Earth. Here I am, Hank Kistler at this camp out. God knows me. God knows me in this huge world. God knows me. And God knows me by name. And God knows what I need. God knows my trials. And listen tonight, God knows you. God knows your name. God knows your trials. God knows everything about you. And listen, God acknowledges us. And God told Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, hold on. The children of Israel are going through captivity, but hey, I acknowledge them. I know what they're going through. Just trust me, Jeremiah. I'm glad tonight that if God chooses to, whatever he chooses to do in our life, he knows his will is best in that area. God knows every beat of your heart. Tonight, God knew your mother and who your mother and father would be before you were they were born. God knows if you're going to have children, young people. And God knew that I would have a little daughter before she was born. God knew everything about your life before he created you. Before he created the world, God knew you. And God knew everything about you. Listen, God knows the heartache that you're going through. Tonight, you say nobody understands. God understands, and God knows the trial. God knows how he's going to bring you through that trial. Listen, God knows everything about you. God knows each and every intricate detail of your life. Watch me. God knows all about you tonight. God knows all about you. Before time began, he knew the date of your birth. He knows the day that you'll die. He knows every one of your thoughts and the decisions that you will make. And get this, and as you make those decisions, God is accomplishing his plan after he gives you a free choice. The Calvinists say that God knows who he's going to save. Listen, God knows because he's God, but at the same time, he gives men free choice. Titus 3:11, he gives men free choice. Listen, God knows everything about us. Aren't you glad about that tonight? We weren't laughing, but help me out here tonight. Help me preach this message, okay? Help me preach it. I need some help here, all right? And listen, God knows all about you. God knows all about me. I'm so glad about that tonight. God knows the hard times you face, parents. God knows the bills that are mounting and just seems that you're not getting any relief in this tough economy. Hey, God knows what you need to the dollar, to the cent. God knows the debt you face, and God knows the problems you face, and God wants to bring you out of that trial. God knows all about you tonight. He knows your need. He acknowledges you. He knows all about you. He knows about your marriage. God knows what your future holds. He knows about your problems at work. And if you work in the lost world, there's problems at work. But God knows those problems. God knows everything about you. Luke chapter 12, verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Hey, fear not tonight. God will get you through that trial. Through your trials, God knows all about you. Fear not through your circumstances. God knows all about you. Fear not through your doubts. God knows all about you. Fear not through the problems you face with the children, parents. God knows all about you. I'm telling you, the scariest thing in the world is being a parent. My daughter's 18 months old. She's got a really, really hard will already. Strong-willed little girl. And parents, I pray for you. I love you because I don't know what's ahead, but God knows what's ahead. Listen, God knows all about us, church. We can thank God about that tonight. Number one, about our trials. God knows every single thing that we're going through. Hey, sometimes God calms the storm in our life. Other times he allows the storm to rage and calms his child. Sometimes God will take that storm and calm it. Other times he'll say, hey, I got to put you through this trial, but I'll calm you. God knows all about us. Alexander Michael said this, knowing that I'm not the one in control gives great encouragement. But knowing the one who is in control is everything. God knows all about us, and God is awesome tonight. Aren't you glad tonight that God acknowledges us? Number two, about our trials, six things about our trials. Number one, God knows everything that you and I go through. Number two, everything that God allows us to go through, ready, is for our good. Every single thing that God allows us to go through is for our good. Verse 5 says, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans, ready? For their good. God said, Jeremiah, hold on. Before you get too depressed, before you get all shook up, Jeremiah, hold on. I'm sending the children of Israel into captivity, but hold on. Hey, I got a reason for it. It's for their good. Amen. Tonight, what trial do you face? It's for your good. I'm 27 years old. I've been privileged not to go through much. And listen, whatever God wants to bring into my life, he has liberty. He's God. He can do that. I tell my wife, Allison, many times, honey, hang on. We haven't really seen heartache yet. Let's be prepared for when it comes. Whatever God wants to do in my life, he can. Listen, but we better be ready. Number two, everything that God allows us to go through is for our good. I'm going to read you a lengthy illustration. I want you to stay with me. We, not really a household name until the events of September 11th, 2001. I was at Howes Harrison College when this happened in New York City. And I was there in college, and somebody came to me and said, "Hey, did you hear about the Twin Towers?" I said, "No, what are you talking about? I know they're beautiful. I know I've been to the top of them. I know it's awesome. It's a great part of the skyline in New York City." "No, they just collapsed." "What? Are you kidding me?" "Yeah, they just collapsed." And I went to the nearest TV that I could get to off campus there. I saw there was a subway real close to the college there. I went to that subway. I looked and I saw the towers crumbling down. I couldn't believe my eyes. There's a couple there named Todd and Lisa Beamer, and their lives were affected by this tragedy. Todd was the one who led a group of men to overpower the hijackers of United Flight 93 that planned on flying right into the White House or the Capitol building. Nobody knows for sure. But Todd was the one who led a group of men as they overpowered those hijackers. And because of his bravery, everybody knows about Todd and Lisa Beamer. If you haven't, before tonight you will. And because of Todd's bravery, the insane mission was aborted and prevented. He and a number of others gave their lives in a remote field in Pennsylvania to protect the lives of others in Washington, D.C. In the aftermath, the entire nation was amazed as Todd's wife, Lisa, was on television being interviewed. And the whole time that newscaster after news reporter interviewed Lisa, they couldn't believe how she just held herself together so well. And here was this young mother of two with another on the way, fielding question after question on national television about the death of her husband with such dignity and wisdom. And as Lisa sat there, such poise, there's something different about Lisa Beamer, something unusual about the calm and composure in the midst of the greatest loss of her life. And Lisa Beamer sat there, and people wondered, where did all this come from? Where this poise and calm, where did it come from? And Lisa stated this way. She talked about how she believed in the sovereignty of God, and if God wanted to do this in her life, fine, God can do it in her life. And through the midst of the greatest tragedy in her life, Lisa talked about the sovereignty of an almighty God. Lisa said this. She said, "My faith wasn't rooted in governments. It wasn't rooted in religion. Wasn't rooted in tall buildings or frail people. My faith and my security were in God." Throughout the pages of the book that she has authored called Let's Roll, Lisa speaks of the greatness and the goodness of her God. And how could she speak of the greatness and goodness of God in the midst of her tragedy of losing her husband and her sweet little children losing their daddy? How could she speak of the greatness and goodness of Almighty God? This time in her life was not the first time that Lisa went through tragedy. And she, earlier in her life, when she was 15 years old, her father, outwardly healthy, vigorous, seemed very healthy. One day, hard-working man, one day went to the hospital experiencing chest pains and at work, and he went to the hospital. The doctor treated him that day and misdiagnosed his symptoms terribly. And the doctor said, as Lisa and her mom came to the hospital, the doctor said, "Your dad's going to be fine. Your husband's going to be fine. We're just going to keep him overnight for observation." Well, Lisa and her mom went home, and about 5 o'clock in the morning, the doctors rushed in. Lisa's father was experiencing some problems, and they rushed in and discovered an aortic aneurysm. And as they tried treating Lisa's father at the hospital that night, or that early morning, they realized they didn't have the proper equipment, so they tried rushing him to the hospital, airlifting him to a hospital somewhere else. And that morning, 90 minutes later, Lisa's father passed away. And Lisa began to have deep questions about God and his goodness, and she was drawn over and over and over again to Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, talking about the goodness of God and the greatness of God. And Lisa turned to rebellion, and she started having questions about God, and questions lingered in her heart. And why had she lost her father? And why had the doctors misdiagnosed his symptoms? Why, God, why? Why did God allow, why did God not protect her family from this terrible tragedy? For the next several years, she dealt with anger and resentment and bitterness toward God. And Lisa went through a tough time, and later she enrolled at Wheaton College. And Lisa tells a story of an eventful meeting with Dennis Massaro, who is the director of outreach for the college. And Lisa met with this man, and she signed up for a summer missions trip to Indonesia. And as she was discussing the trip with Dennis, the conversation turned to her bitterness over the death of her father, and she was still dealing with unbelievable resentment toward God. And God, how could you allow this to happen? And God, how could you allow me to go through this? God, why didn't you protect my family from this? She's telling the doctor at Wheaton College this. And finally, Dennis responded, "You know, Lisa, God knew the hospital they took your dad to wasn't going to have the right equipment to perform the surgery. God knew that day the doctors would misdiagnose his symptoms. And Lisa, God knew that they wouldn't have the proper equipment there at the hospital. God knew that they would have to airlift your father somewhere else. And Lisa, as calm as he could say it, Lisa, maybe it's time for you to accept that." Lisa knew that this man was right, and Lisa loved him for telling her the truth, but hated it at the same time. And finally, the gentle words targeted her heart as an arrow piercing through, and she realized that he was right. And again, her heart was drawn back to Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, that talks again of the goodness of God. And many times through these years in Lisa's life, she was drawn back to that famous passage, Romans 11, 33 to 36. Romans 11, 33 to 36. And Lisa recalls her reaction to this staggering description of God as she began to talk to herself. Finally, Lisa said, "Who am I to question God and say that I have a better plan than he does? Who am I to think that God doesn't have a perfect plan for my life, and I don't have the same wisdom that he has or the understanding that of the big picture like God has? I think I deserve a happy life, and I even get angry when things don't happen the way that I think they should. I'm only a sinner and I deserve death, just like all of us do." Lisa said that day, "I'm only a sinner, but God knows all about my life, and God knows what I need, and he knows what's best for my life. And who am I to question God?" That day, Lisa decided to stop questioning God and start trusting him. That day, she came to grips with the sovereignty of God. And listen, tonight, church, aren't you glad that everything God allows us to go through is for our good? Hey, it might have been that God allowed this tragedy as a 15-year-old girl to come into Lisa's life, and she didn't understand why at first, but it might have been that God, and she did understand later, that God brought this into her life for a very specific reason. Because God wanted Lisa to understand that he is sovereign God and he knows what we need, and he knew what she needed that day. And it was designed. We see this passage in Jeremiah 24. It seemed that the captivity for some of the Israelites was for their utter destruction. Their estates were ruined and their honors were ruined. Their liberties were gone and they were separated from very close friends as some went into captivity and some stayed behind. And it seemed that they were put under the power of their enemies and oppressors. This discouraged them. It exposed them to a number of temptations, and yet it was designed, ready, for their good. Children of Israel didn't understand why God was allowing this time in their life, but God said, "Jeremiah, it's for their good, and I'm going to show you why. Just hang on and trust me." Number three, I want to move on here. God promises to bring us out of the furnace when his intentions are accomplished. About our trials, God promises to bring us out of the furnace when his intentions are accomplished. Verse 6, the Bible says, "And I will bring them again to this land." Praise the Lord tonight. Whatever trial you face, God promises through his word. Hey, whatever trial you face, God gives us a great promise that when that trial is accomplished, I'll bring you out of that trial. What an awesome, awesome thing in the word of God. Do you have an illness tonight? I think of my dear wife, and she's going to hate me for saying this, but I think of my wife who suffers from psoriatic arthritis. I remember as a 16-year-old girl, she had knee pains in high school as we played gym in a high school, and she'd have to wear a knee brace, and we thought, okay, she has a knee problem, but we found out later it was arthritis. Suffers every single day. One of her fingers is swollen, huge. Some of you have illnesses, and you have things that God's allowing you to go through, but God promises, watch me, God promises that he brought this into your life for good. And when it's accomplished, he'll bring you out of that trial. What a great God. What a wonderful God. Number four, God promises that he will use our trials to build us. God promises that he will use our trials to build us. Verse 6, "And I will build them and not pull them down." Hey, when God has his gold in the furnace of affliction and all the impurities are removed, God says, hey, then I'm going to take that out of the furnace and I'll build it to be much stronger. I'll use it to be much stronger. And we see in that verse, I will build them and not pull them down. Maybe it's a parent with a wayward teenager who's about ready to give up, and it seems like there's no hope. And I've counseled parents who look at me in the eye, 2.5 years of youth work, they look at me in the eye and say, I have no idea what to do with my teenager. And I say, ma'am, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And parent, before you give up, listen, we can't take shortcuts with our kids. We know that. There's things that we can shortcut. We can shortcut the budget. Our pastor told us in Stony Brook, he said, we can shortcut different things, but we can't shortcut our kids. And I'm sure some of you are wonderful parents, you're great parents, but listen, we can't take shortcuts. And maybe you're about to give up on your child and you say, I have a wayward teenager and I don't understand what to do next. Hey, I tell you, hang on, because that trial you face, when God has fulfilled that trial in your life, he says, hey, I'll pull you out of that, and I promise I'll build you from that trial. I'll build you from that trial. Number five, let's move on here. Number five, God promises that through our trials, he will establish us. He promises through our trial that he will establish us. Verse 6, and I will plant them and not pluck them down. God puts us through a trial so that we will flourish as a vineyard for his glory. I love this story. I'm going to read you right now. In Sequoia National Park some years ago, anybody ever been to Sequoia National Park and seen the huge redwoods and the beauty of nature and creation there? There was a huge forest fire that broke out in the area, and prompting an amazing response. And many people were particularly concerned because of the redwoods, and they wanted to make sure they didn't get destroyed. And many people from all over the state came, and they helped thousands of people, thousands, and they brought water and different things to try to help control these fires. And the fires broke out this particular summer. These giant redwoods are the largest trees by volume in the entire world. They grow best at about 5,000 to 7,000 feet on the western slope of the Sierras. And these stunning trees top out at just under 300 feet tall. And growing up in North Carolina, I see the beautiful pines and how they soar, nothing like the giant sequoias. And these just under 300 feet tall. When the fires broke out this particular summer, over thousands of people responded from the valley, jumping into their cars, trucks, and SUVs, and drove right up to the fire lines just to protect those trees at all costs. No matter what, they had to protect these giant sequoias. And all through the forest, they could see trees hundreds and hundreds of years old, and they could see that tree after tree after tree had been through fire after fire after fire. And finally, they realized that the key to the success and the life of these sequoias, making it through these fires, and was not that people would come and there's nothing these people could do for these huge fires that came through. They realized that the bark is what made the difference on these trees. And a bark, they measured the bark on some of these trees 3 feet thick. And that's what saved the sequoias through fire after fire after fire, was the bark 3 feet thick. Now hold your hands 3 feet apart there. That's some thick bark. Listen, but God takes a child of his, and when he puts them through that fire of affliction, through that time of trial in their life, he says, hey, hang on, child, hang on, Christian, hang on, mom, hang on, dad, hang on, teenager, whatever you're going through, because, hey, I promise when that trial is over, I'll use it to build you, and I'll use it to help you get through that hard time. God promises, number five, that through our trials, he will establish us. What an awesome God to know exactly what we need. God uses our trials to establish us with thick bark in our life so that we can make it through our trials and be used by God Almighty. What a great God. Number six, and lastly tonight, number six, about our trials. Number six, God uses our trials to draw us closer to him. Verse 7, I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Jeremiah, hold on. I'm sending him to captivity, but it's not because I don't love him, Jeremiah. It's not because I don't care for my children. It's because I want to fulfill a purpose in their life. Jeremiah, hang on. I'm going to use these trials to draw my people closer to me. I revert back now to the story of Todd and Lisa Beamer, how Lisa went through these trials as a 15-year-old girl. And just before September 11th, Todd and Lisa had a wonderful week together in Rome. Todd and his business, his work, had won a trip to Rome, and little did they know that trip would be something special. During the week in Rome, Lisa grabbed a few minutes here and there to prepare for a woman's Bible study that would start the following week at her home church. Interestingly enough, the passage in her study guide for the first week's lesson was the same passage that God had brought her back to many times before in her life, which is Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. And through this time in Lisa's life, and right before these tragic events of September 11th, they returned home from Rome to New Jersey on September 10th, and the rest is history. But right before, several months later, after the FBI had finished its investigation, Lisa discovered something that she would cherish forever. In search for more evidence, the FBI impounded all the cars belonging to the passengers that were aboard Flight 93 that day. They impounded every car of these passengers, the relatives, and for months they investigated and they looked through all these cars and searched for evidence and clues. And after officials released Todd's car, Lisa had friends remove all of Todd's belongings and store them for her to look through later. One item they found that Lisa told news reporters as she was being interviewed was something intriguing. In the armrest tray between the front seats, Todd had some scripture memorization cards that he had used while he drove, and he would pull out the different memorization cards, scripture memorization cards, and read verse after verse after verse and try to memorize and just spend some time with the Lord in his car. And the first, right on top of that stack of cards, the first passage they came to was, believe it or not, Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. That was God saying, Lisa, I'll take care of you. Lisa, through this unbelievable trial in your life and through this time of heartache, and listen, folks, today, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know you. I just know I'm delighted to be here, and I want to be a blessing. I don't know what you go through, but I tell you one thing. There's a God in heaven who knows every single trial you face, every single storm you're going to face this next year, and maybe heartache will come this next year. Teenager, maybe a heartache will come in your life that was unexpected. Maybe you'll have to endure something that God put in your life. Listen, God knows, and his sovereign will is best, and God knows exactly what we can take. Listen, what are you going through tonight? What trials do you face? God promises through these trials that he'll draw us closer to him. Don't you want to be more like Christ? If there's one thing I want in my life, each and every day, don't you always feel like you never can read your Bible enough? You can never spend enough time with the Lord, and just feels like we always feel like we're coming up short in our Christian life, and trials come our way, and it just seems like we just need God more and more and more. And we do. I wonder tonight, what trial do you face? What trial is it? God says, I got a reason for it. I got a purpose for that trial. Trust me. I want to build you. I want to supplant you. I want to use it in your life for good. And God says, I want to use it to draw you closer to me. Whatever trial you're facing tonight, listen, realize that God wants to draw you closer to him through that trial. And God promises that he will. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this evening. And Lord, thank you for these dear folks. And God, it's a wonderful privilege to know you. And God, as I was sharing with some teenagers this morning in Medford, Massachusetts, God, I was sharing with them how wonderful it is to have a personal relationship with you. God, to think that us sinful man can actually know you and actually have a one-on-one, real, live, exciting relationship with you, God, it is an awesome, awesome thought. Lord, I thank you for those dear folks tonight. And God, maybe someone's going through a trial. Maybe someone's going through a heartache. And God, I don't know what they're going through. I don't know the situation. God, pastor probably does. And Lord, he knows heartaches. God, I thank you that you know exactly what we go through. God, tonight I pray for somebody who is, Lord, thinking about giving up. Thinking about giving up on a child, and a wayward child. And God, thinking about just throwing in the towel and giving up. God, I pray that you give them peace. God, to know that the trials they face, God, you are using in their life. God, help us. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight if there's somebody lost. Maybe there's someone sitting under the sound of my voice who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Please don't leave here tonight not knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. You say, Brother Hank, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I die tonight I go to heaven. If that's you, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you one bit. I just want to pray for you. You say, I'm not sure if I died I go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up, please? I want to pray for you. All right, a body of believers here. You say, there's trials, though. There's trials. Folks, we all face trials. I'm not trying to belittle your trials, but we're all going to go through things. It could be very unexpected, like Lisa Beamer. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a reason for those trials. Listen, God wants to use them in your life. You say, I'm going through something serious right now. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. I want to see your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Stand with your heads bowed, eyes closed as the piano plays. This altar is here. What a great thing to get on bended knee before God and pray and ask God to help us. Preacher, you come as you see fit, please, sir.
You heard it very clearly tonight. Maybe that trial you're going through, God kind of put it in a little bit different perspective this evening. Just come and spend some time with the Lord this evening. We'll take all the time we need to. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Just give it over to him. Thank you for that message. Tremendous, tremendous biblical truth there. I hope you leave here. I know some of your burdens, some of the trials you're going through, and I hope you get to see it in a different perspective tonight. That was a tremendous message. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to have the ladies come up and sing another song. So.
Calling those mercy and pardon, a pardon for you and for me.
Sure, you go and greet these ladies and get to know Brother Kistler and his wife, and I appreciate them being here, and get back to that table back there, CD table back there. There's some other things back there, but if you need some music, some good music, I promise you'll be right there at that table. And please greet them and thank them for being here tonight. I wasn't going to sing our song, hymn number 300. I wasn't sure if I'd have time this evening, but it's our closing song of the weekend every week, and thought, well, I better stay with what we're used to doing. So we're going to close with our hymn number 300, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Let's stand, and we'll go ahead and let's sing all three verses tonight as we close our service. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. On a second. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. Kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Good singing tonight. Man, we had church today. Amen. I want to report we had three saved downstairs today, praise the Lord, and had a good crowd in on the buses, good crowd this morning, and be praying for those. I know some are sick this evening and going through a few different things, and be praying for some away on vacation, I know, as well, but Wednesday evening we'll be right back here. I feel like get back to normal a little bit. This last month has been busy, but it's been a good busy. It's been tremendous in church. It was all for you, and I hope that you've been blessed. From the walkers right on to the tour groups and everything, I hope you've been blessed. I know I have been blessed, and still a busy summer ahead of us. And again, tour group, thank you for being here tonight. You have honored us by being here, and thank you very, very much. And Brother Robles, would you come up and close in prayer this evening? Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight's message, Lord. Thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord, through the singing, through the preaching. And Lord, help us to, Father, realize that everything in our lives you allow and you have a plan for, Lord. Father, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And we can trust you. And Father, help us this week to look unto Jesus. No matter what happens, no matter what may come, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who begun a good work and will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So be with us now and help us, Lord, as we come together again. Guide us here safely. Be with the tour group, Lord. Help them as they travel on to the next destination, Lord, and bless them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.